This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. No American city has a landscape so dotted with monuments as the nation's capital. Around here, we build things to commemorate presidents, wars, and even the occasional virtue. On my commute, I drive past a monument to temperance, the gift of an eccentric but sober dentist during the Gilded Age. Now, you used to hear monument and think of the old standbys, equestrian statues, obelisks. We are now way past that. On my drive to work, before I reach the Temperance Monument, I pass a monumental novelty next to the Interstate Highway in Virginia. A colleague of mine says it looks like a giant three-belled jester's cap. I think that's generous. What's with Washington's most recent monuments? Well, that's what we asked sculptor Toby Mendez, whom we took to three relatively new ones, and we started at the aforementioned jester's hat, which is in reality the U.S. Air Force Memorial.
When I saw it originally, it did immediately reflect flight and movement.
I have to confess, the first time I saw it, I thought that there was a dead mammoth with tusks sticking up alongside the interstate highway, and I had to figure out what it was for a while.
It's reminiscent of the St. Louis Arch.
Kind of three arcs that didn't quite make it into the St. Louis Arch, you say.
That's right. And it's similar in materials, too. It's stainless steel, quite big, and almost daunting when you stand underneath of them.
Three curved arms rise and diverge from a platform alongside an elevated stretch of I-395. This is near the Pentagon. It's meant to evoke the image of the precision bomb burst maneuver performed by the Air Force Thunderbird demonstration team. That's when they fly up into the sky and then peel out. Of course, when the jets do that, they leave behind an ethereal vapor trail that dissipates in no time. The stainless steel looks pretty earthbound by comparison. Still, it's an evocative memorial, not an explicit rendering of an aircraft, say. And sculptor Toby Mendez thinks that's for a reason.
Sometimes we try not to offend, and I think that the minimalist sculptures kind of bridge that problem.
Since they're less explicit about what it is they're representing, they do less offense, you say.
Yeah, and I guess part of the design challenge of any memorial is that you have to satisfy so many people's needs and desires that it becomes impossible.
Across the Potomac River on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., is another relatively new monument. It's the sprawling World War II Memorial. It's been open for 3 years. It sits directly between the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial. Water sprays noisily from a fountain surrounded by stone pillars with bronze wreaths. Each pillar bears the name of a state or a territory. To me, it definitely suggests a memorial. But does it really suggest the Second World War?
Well, I know that was one of the criticisms of the memorial, is that if you were dropped in this memorial from elsewhere and were asked what is it about, you would have to sort of struggle to figure out that it was for World War II.
On the other hand, I wouldn't call this minimalist. There's something very, very traditional about stones and wreaths.
Yeah, it's very architectural in design.
We are here on a hot day in Washington, D.C., and there are a lot of people here.
Yeah, and I think, if I were the architect or the sculptor, I would be happy that it seems to be people-friendly. People seem to be interacting with the memorial.
One of the questions about a memorial like this is, does it somehow bespeak the Second World War? But another question is it American? The cruelest thing you can say about a Second World War monument is that it looks like what the other side would have built if they had won.
Yeah, I've heard that criticism before, and I know the architect's answer to that is that it's inspired by Roman architecture, which is a form that, Roman and Greek architecture is a form that we've used to symbolize democracy.
To be fair, the story of the war is told in a series of scenes depicted in small reliefs lining the walkway into the site. They're like frames of a graphic novel in metal relating iconic moments from battles and from the home front.
I would imagine if you were a visitor and you looked at these and spent some time, you could kind of get a full narrative of the war.
You would know this is about a war.
And we should also say, I think there's inscriptions throughout the memorial, too. I think that they help in defining what the memorial is about.
If the sweep and scope of the World War II memorial overwhelm you, there is the most recent addition to the nation's capital, which doubles as a monument to understatement. Across the National Mall, on a nondescript triangle of land sandwiched between Massachusetts Avenue, New Jersey Avenue, and G Street, you may be able to spot a slightly larger-than-life-sized statue of a woman. She's holding a torch aloft. She has a chiseled, unfinished look. This is the memorial dedicated last month to victims of communism.
It's based on a sculpture that was done by some Chinese students and placed in Tiananmen Square during the Tiananmen Square incident.
This was their Goddess of Liberty, which evoked, for them, I gather, the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, it was intended to echo the Statue of Liberty, and from what I could tell through research, the original was just a plaster that was just put together very quickly by the students, placed in Tiananmen Square, and then it was destroyed by tanks.
And it's an interesting figure.
It's actually very well done. It's very kind of an expressionist piece, a lot of texture. It's a bronze piece, and I would say it's between 8 and 9 feet tall. And it's placed on a very low pedestal, kind of a chest-high pedestal.
It's not entirely literal. We're not doing photographic sculpture here.
No, it is not. It's not a photorealism piece by any means. It's an icon representing an icon.
Think it works?
I know when we first approached the piece, it blended right into the trees. And I would think that the average pedestrian is just not going to necessarily see it. Which is, I guess, in a small way, a little bit unfortunate.
Because Washington, D.C. is full of monuments from many eras that people walk past every day and don't quite take notice of.
That's true. And this one is more, it's closer to a monument than a memorial, I would say. Although it's meant to be a contemplative piece, it's an object more than an architectural space.
When you see a monument like this one, or the big World War II memorial, or the Air Force memorial that we saw in Arlington, do you get the impression that the city that gave us the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson is on a cold streak? Are we just doing something more appropriate to the times? Do these give you the same sensation you have when you see the grand old monuments of the city?
I think in a lot of respects, I feel like we're trying to catch up. We've had a lot of monuments dedicated in the last 20 years. Down near the mall in D.C. So if you ask me if we're going through a cold streak, I think we're just going through kind of growing pains, one architecturally and artistically, but also just as a culture.
That's sculptor Toby Mendez speaking about three of Washington, D.C.'s more recent monuments and memorials. This is NPR, National Public Radio.